Hi, welcome to today's episode of Sex and the Bull City. I am Celine Malone, and I am a clinician here at Bull City Psychotherapy, and I have Ara Labar with me today, and she is also a clinician here. And why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Okay. I started here at Bull City Psychotherapy in August, and since then I've been working with, oh my goodness, all sorts of adults coming in with from life transition needs, looking at partner issues, other types of interpersonal issues, just wanting more in their life, as well as some deep-rooted grief and loss. So a really wide range of amazing people coming here looking for change and growth.
Thank you for sharing that. So you bring to us a really interesting topic that comes up a lot at our practice. We're going to talk about partner betrayal today.
Yes.
And I know for me, I've done some training on partner betrayal. And what really struck me, the biggest takeaway message, was that when you have been betrayed in a partnership, it is a trauma. And it is going to start the same reaction in people as some of the other big traumas that we think about in life. And so we're going to talk about that today, what it is, what to expect in therapy.
Exactly.
So tell us more about partner betrayal.
Absolutely. So if we think about if trauma, which is a word used a lot these days, but if trauma is anything that is too much, too soon, and not on your own terms, and we pause and really look at that and how, and it's like that's a broad statement and not my definition, definitely. Well, being therapists and researchers and people who study this comes from a lot of really amazing, smart people. So if it's too much, too soon, and not on your own terms, that is both a universal statement and definition, but it's also such a unique definition because it's not on your terms. So how does a big, bad event affect you? And though, so that becomes a really personal definition. And I want to start there because interpersonal trauma comes in all sorts, unfortunately. That's what happens. It can be at a traumatic event. It can also be within an attachment or relational trauma. And it also can be like it can be show up in us as complex PTSD, which I work with quite a bit. And then there's what we look at as a descriptor of betrayal trauma. Betrayal trauma really is also a broader umbrella. And so it's not just the interpersonal, although that's definitely where we're going to focus today. It comes from psychologist Jennifer Fried, and she's been looking at betrayal trauma as a true, just as a true study and a way to really look at those that have been betrayed in a different aspect. And so originally, betrayal trauma looked at the attachments between a child and their caregiver. So that
Okay.
attachment betrayal.
I didn't know that was its
Yeah,
origin.
that was the origin. And she's also done a lot of work on like also work setting betrayal. So
Okay.
it's anywhere that there's a power differential or a
Okay.
power dynamic. And I'll get to whilst that might give a pause for some people within a adult consensual relationship. But it also is, it's where someone is relied on for security and safety.
I
So
think you're really getting at it there.
it's so that is the key, and that's what we'll carry over. Before I've well, there's a lot from Jennifer Fried. However, what she's really focused, it gets broader than for her too. She's currently doing a, or she's doing, has been doing a lot of work in institutional betrayal too.
Okay.
And so I think that we can come from a, like a social justice aspect mm-hmm. as well, and equity, justice, and all of that. So I think there is just a lot of awareness around what, how this is a real, real event. It's a real process. And so, but let's look at the, let's go a little bit deeper in the partner betrayal. And within that, it's that safety and security. And when that is broken, it causes such a rift. And the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts and Trauma Specialists, or ASAPS, it'll be a little easier to say, has really worked on looking at the partner trauma. And it's just, it's more than just the discovery of a partner who has been acting out. It's associated with the relational patterns within the behavior, and it's how to recover from that. So it's, but it's that rift in safety, which I think in any attachment developed when you were a child, all the way up through developmentally to mm-hmm. where we are, that that can give some people a little bit of an aha.
Mm-hmm. So I can understand how someone that you have built a functional life with, someone that you are reliant on the day to day with, like, you know what time they get out of bed, you know what bills are getting paid and by whom, you know what's for dinner, right? Like, you have built a life, and if one component of that life is, in this case, sexual fidelity,
mm-hmm.
To have that ripped out from under the foundations of a relationship can be really disorienting. Mm-hmm. And that might not even be a big enough word to call it disorienting. It can be traumatic. It can be mm-hmm. destabilizing. If I don't understand this core foundational part of my partner, do I know them at all?
Mm-hmm. A few things you said really step out, and it's sort of like we've stepped into this space of commitment, and then there's this breaking of that commitment. And I think the key in what a lot of people have who have been studying this for a while and working with people through this is moving towards the word trauma. While that can sound for some people a little disorienting, it really helps you to understand that it is a true trauma, because there's this past language around it is based on the ideas of codependency. Ah, there was something within the partner that caused the rift, okay. Or there's a pathologizing. And again, it goes back to psychologist Fried of looking at, we want to move beyond pathologizing a victim in any, when we're talking about any of the betrayal traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an older mindset. Mm-hmm. And so using, APSATS really is moving towards, and they have a model that we can get into later when we're talking about healing and restoration, but they're really moving towards to, hey, we need to look at the client. We need to look at the partner and find out what they need for healing and what they need for awareness, which really gets into like, what is it? How does it show up? You said a word, you said, is disorienting not quite the right word? Well, one of the things we see in complex PTSD is disorientation. It's mm-hmm. the somatic disorientation. We feel so, the ground is ripped out from under mm-hmm. you. So how do we rebalance ourselves first we need to be aware of that imbalance and honor it. So that sort of gets into where we'll be going next.
Okay. You know, one of the things that I was really struck by in mm-hmm. some of the research with betrayal trauma is some of the studies on the nervous system mm-hmm. in betrayed mm-hmm. partners, that the things happening in their brains, mm-hmm. the things happening in the nerves in their body mm-hmm. are the same things that are happening mm-hmm. for people with other forms of complex PTSD. Mm-hmm. And that they're really indistinguishable.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, validating that it's not just their spoken experience, mm-hmm. it's their physical body experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. So in breaking of the safety within a relationship, right? So whatever, however you want to look at this, mm-hmm. it may result in hyperarousal. That's when our bodies are in fight mode. So this is our fight or flight. We're getting stuck in the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight mode. It's activation of all of the high cortisol levels you can think of. It's rage, it's fight or flight, it's the sleeplessness, just the constant reliving of events, flashbacks, anxiety, nightmares, intrusive images, mood swings, panic attacks, the list goes on. These are real things that occur within betrayal trauma. And this mm-hmm. is across the board, different types of betrayal trauma. Of just, we look at sometimes in the pathologizing side, we're like, oh, you're oversensitive. But what does oversensitive mean? It means going into that hyper focus, because that's a protection state mm-hmm. to keep us going. And why do we do that? Why does our body do that in any sorts of trauma? It's because the opposite of that is so scary. So depression, I really love this definition that someone shared with me. Depression is anxiety and overwhelm. So if we're in hyper and we are being protective, like, go, 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 I'm angry and I need to keep doing research and I need to listen to all of the podcasts and I need to read all of the books, that's wonderful. And as an aside, there are many, many resources out there for partners going through betrayal trauma. There are many, many, which is fantastic, where they're used to not be a place to turn to. Resources are amazing, and it keeps you going, 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 going. So it's this, there needs to be also time for how do I find my middle ground. But to go back to the opposite of the hyperarousal, where, or the anxiety and overwhelm, that keeps us in this mode mm-hmm. of just moving. I need to investigate, I need to check for honesty at every turn. And if I don't keep myself in the agitation mode, mm-hmm. I might drift back to calm. And guess what? I'm going to be tricked again. And it would be my fault this time. Yeah. The trust would be broken. Mm-hmm. The trust would be broken and all over again. So I have to be just leaning forward in all of aspects mm-hmm. of my life, ready to either flee or fight mm-hmm. this situation, this partner who I used to come home to.
Used to be calm.
Right.
Peaceful.
Exactly. So we're always then trying to keep ourselves from this depression, which is the hypoarousal. That is when we're in our parasympathetic nervous system, where we're shutting down. We're shutting down. There's a shock. There's a numbness. And the shock happens. This is not a linear process. You go back and forth. It's the immobility. It's the withdrawing, avoidance, not being able to get out of bed or get the kids ready for school. The phobias, sort of, or the denial and avoidance. And there's a lot of work been doing about betrayal blindness that mm-hmm. I've been reading. That's really interesting. And it's what causes that with, again, this is for betrayal trauma across the board, but with partners, what does that look like? And it's a protective mechanism mm-hmm. and why that can be protective and why that can also be something mm-hmm. not to think is a small thing. So really, really look at, so how do we create a space for people so they can look at all these aspects of themselves? And I think sharing the, what are some of the results of this breach of contract, mm-hmm. in a fairy heart embodied way, it's good to know that it goes beyond the moment, mm-hmm. right? And it is a very real thing.
I think if you, as a listener, have been through being cheated on, to mm-hmm. use more colloquial language mm-hmm. than betrayal trauma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you have been through betrayal trauma, you probably recognize yourself in both of those states, mm-hmm. Or maybe even the denial, the mm-hmm. consistent blindness. Mm-hmm. You found out about your partner's betrayal at some point, and now you consistently mm-hmm. just assume things are okay and
yeah.
refuse to notice the things that tell you it's not okay. And that can be a choice, but it comes at a cost, that you're experiencing that trauma.
Mm-hmm. I remember a story that during training of APSAT, so I have not connected with someone through this, but there's to the point of it can be so real, this breaking, that there's been cases of people, you know, the shock moves into heart failure, or the shock moves. So there's been, or other bodily reactions mm-hmm. that have brought them to the point of needing medical attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, I think that resonates with me in a level of just complete empathy for someone going through this, that's where we're working with.
Yeah.
That if we don't step in and say, this is your time to be validated, your time to process, your time to grieve and mourn and find new meaning making beyond that, which we'll get into in a moment, that there's going to be this loss and we need,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I think my understanding or my experience mm-hmm. of kind of our culture's expectations around
mm-hmm.
people who have experienced betrayal trauma
mm-hmm.
is that they want them to get over it quickly, however right. they choose them
right.
for them to get over
yeah.
it, whether that person chooses to leave the person mm-hmm. that they're with
mm-hmm.
or they choose to stay. Either way, the expectation is don't make it the world's problem.
Mm-hmm.
Really, like, there's not space for that. We need to get over it fast, make your decision, and then that's it. You're either with them or you're not. And I think what you're saying is that part of what therapy offers
mm-hmm.
is that space that holds whatever they bring,
right.
whether it's the rage, whether it's the
mm-hmm.
Safety seeking or the fear or any of the things that you've talked about, the hypo arousal, the hyper arousal, mm-hmm. that those things have a place and they can go at their own pace.
Right. Right. Definitely. Someone coming in to seek support,
mm-hmm.
to going through this process, we really start with safety. We don't start with decision making down the road. It's about taking time to look at whatever is coming out. There's a lot of work being done around complex anger and how that serves people.
Mm.
And I think it's Kristen Holdenbeck who is working on this post-traumatic mm-hmm. anger and how that steps into the process.
Okay.
And then there's just, so safety is that first sense, and also honoring whatever that means from the rage, from the shock, from the shutting down, whatever is showing up. and safety of bodily autonomy, mm-hmm. and whatever that might present. It's really a time for stabilization. During this time, there also might be, that might be the place for disclosure between partners. Mm-hmm. That is on the pace that is healthy for both partners.
Okay.
So that is on the pace of when they're both able to come into a space and have this full disclosure. What is wonderful about betrayal trauma, it's coming from that idea that it's collaborative, mm-hmm. that the partner is the decision maker of when that is time, when there's time for that.
And the betrayed partner is, yes, in charge.
In charge with the collaboration of, mm-hmm. the therapist. Because a lot of times, mm-hmm. it's like, no, I want to know everything now. I want to know. Mm-hmm. Is your system, going back to what you were talking about, like disorientation? Mm-hmm. That's very real. And we need to make sure that your body somatically knows what it's like to feel, mm-hmm. safe again. What does it like to, and can it re-enter that space of safety? Mm-hmm. So that is the first ground. Yes, but what you are saying is that the partners are part of that, yeah. decision-making when they are ready to enter that space of disclosure. So that's sort of the beginning part of safety. And then we move on to, it's time for the storytelling, the remembering, right? It's time to process. And this is the mourning stage. This is a loss. And that's a really important thing to remember, the universality of betrayal trauma is, even if this is not a topic that hits you in the, mm-hmm. gut or in the heart, it is, we all know what loss is like. And that is actually my connection to, betrayal trauma is not something I've had to face in my personal work. Yet, I am fascinated with how people connect with their inner selves after or during a true loss, mm-hmm. and then are able to authentically move forward. So, I mean, really my spark in therapy and why I'm doing this as, mm-hmm. my second career is, it's that spark I see in people, mm-hmm. in growth. The post-traumatic growth is fascinating to me. I am not a collector of trauma stories. That is not, that's not my driving force, mm-hmm. at all. It's how humans grow and heal. And I think there's a lot of research in how our brains are so flexible that there's, you know, constantly growing and, you know, the plasticity. And that's wonderful. And what really fascinates me, and I know we're going to get into the treatment soon, is that it's not just our brains, right? It's our whole systems, our whole bodies, mm-hmm. are part of that. And it's that storytelling and how people find their healing path. I'm just holding space and making sure that their bodies are able to remember, mm-hmm. and hold on to that sense of safety. Once that is laid, then their minds and their neurological networks can recreate the pathways that they need, mm-hmm. to do the healing, right? So I know that was a little jumping ahead, but it's in the stage of working with people who are going through the remembering in the mourning stage, that's not where we end. And I think that's what's interesting. It's more about the reconnection. Does this mean going back to, you know, does it mean going back to your partner? Maybe, maybe not. It's really up to, what does rebuilding trust within you look like? And then within a partnership. Mm-hmm. So it's the ideas of, like, do you have a vision for the future? You can't talk about a vision for the future when you're in fight or flight mode. It's let's move beyond the reactivity. And once that is is processed and reprocessed, and we've mourned what we need to mourn, we can move into the deeper work. Sometimes that means more family of origin work that takes us down a whole new path, like schema therapy, right? Like if there can be a on and on and on. But then that's also where what does intimacy look like for ourselves personally? And what does intimacy look like within potentially this coupleship or whatever else they decide?
Something you said that I find really meaningful is the sense of trusting the self. I think one of the most common but not talked about experiences in any kind of betrayal is the sense that some aspect of it is your own fault because you trusted this person. Right. You didn't see signs. You didn't know better than to trust them. And how do you learn to trust your own judgment again? And that's part of what you're talking about is that building that sense of safety for yourself allows you to trust yourself, to trust your judgment, to be able to make decisions about the relationship, about how you want to live your life.
And that's really where it starts, right? What I think both of us find fascinating is, and please jump in, is what this space can offer, right? And a lot of this goes into, you know, work and mindfulness, but it also goes towards whatever that client needs, really, is what it is. That's the long and short of it. But focusing in the here and now, and that's what the mindfulness, different work can do. That's, again, whatever that means to that person. I know that's a really broad statement, but I think then we go into how do we replace these neurological networks, and then that goes in our work with EMDR, right? We're creating that sense of safety, and safety, yes, in the space of the therapeutic setting, but then going back to the, oh, I'm safe within myself. How do I know I'm safe within myself? I know because my sensations are showing up like this when I'm truly safe. I know that because my emotions are following my sensations, and there's an opening. There's an opening towards curiosity, right? Sometimes when I listen to people and they're on the hamster wheel of being stuck, which is a protective factor. It's not anything to be ignored at all. It's a very strong protective factor. But when there's more of when it moves towards curiosity and imagination, there's that, they might not be able to consciously notice it, but there's potentially a shift in sensations and somatic responses towards whatever that means, whatever possibility means to them. And so that circles back, all of this circles back to, this forward-looking, perspective-taking ability, even empathy towards my partner, right? It's that forward-looking openness that is the action behind trust of self, right? So trust is an action. These are all actions. Love is also an action, but that's part of the... So we need to... The self-love is also there, but... We don't need to go into that right now, but it's all the work of how do we go beyond where we unexpectedly found ourselves.
So if somebody were to, maybe a listener were to be thinking like, is this a thing that I need? I feel like I can handle this myself. Or is therapy a thing that I need? Make the pitch for why this is. I mean, you've been saying a lot about like this is the space for healing, but how do people know this is what I need? This is where I'm going to get the knowledge and the ability and the skills to deal with what I'm facing.
Interesting. I think I go back to curiosity.
Okay.
If betrayal trauma within your partnership resonates with you, then some of what we've talked about will bring you to research more. Or maybe this is just one of the many podcasts out there that you've listened to about around this subject. And wonderful, keep digging. And we're here for you. If you're someone who that's this is not connected quite right, but oh, you have experienced generational trauma. That whew.
And adult I've children done a, of sex addicts.
Yes, I've done a lot of work. It's amazing. Unfortunately, amazing how many people I've worked with when I'm working with them. It's not in their present, but they grew up within a family and maybe not even diagnosed sex addicts. I want to I want open that space to the instability, the and what chronic infidelity can do to children growing up in that space.
100%.
Ripple, it goes back to another part of what interests me about a full system of towards growth is it's about the ripple effects. We are a system, right? Therapy is not just for your brain, it's for your full body. Healing is not just about the here and now. It's we focus, yes, in EMDR, we go back to the past, we do. But that's not to stay there. That's so you can integrate into the present and move fluidly into the future. So it's really about how do you want to perceive yourself and in the future. So if that is, that comes, people walking through the door are interested in calling or emailing, might come from a place that is different, but you are noticing that the ripple effects of trauma are affecting you. I think that's really the connectivity in all of this. I mean, my interest, again, it goes back to, yes, it's the spark in regrowth. Yeah, I love that. Definitely. And it's the knowledge of, it takes a full system. And we need a full, healthy society. So to be able to solve the problems of the world, we really do. So stepping into the space of how, and if and you might be someone who's like, oh, that word trauma, it's used a lot. Okay. How have you shifted in your life? And how do you want to shift in your life? And if you're finding it's difficult to make shifts towards openness in whatever way you see, why? Be curious about that.
Right.
Maybe that brings you on a walk in the woods. Maybe that brings you to connecting with friends. Maybe that brings you to therapy. And I think each of those things are wonderful.
I love that this is a place where we can hold space for people. You use that language a lot tonight. I really, I love that language because, you know, I think there aren't a lot of places in our lives where we get space. You know, I think about platitudes that people use. You'll get over it. Think positive. It'll all be okay. You're strong. Is really people saying, I don't have the space for this inside of me. And I need you to go elsewhere to find that. And that's our job. That's what we do. We hold this as a place where people are able to engage in whatever they need.
Yes, I see that it is probably a language I use a lot. It's always good to look at that. And I think what's behind that statement of holding space is the idea that it's a collaboration. So people walking through the door or working with us online, it's a collaborative effort. And that's probably some of behind what I'm saying. It's a collaborative effort. Ultimately, surprise, surprise, it's you doing the healing. Spoiler alert. And
We can't do the work for anyone.
we can't. But we can ask the questions, and our curiosity might spark your curiosity. Our space of safety might spark your space of safety or your remembrance of safety. And bringing you to the person you want to be. If you can feel that sense of safety and validation and readiness to mourn and readiness towards the regrowth on your own terms, then going through all of the, the evidence-based therapies that we do and the interventions and we've done our schooling, we've done our research, and we continue to learn. Like, so that's, we're naturally, both of you and I, we're naturally curious. We're going to keep learning. And so our curiosity is part of the space that we're holding. Now you can step into it so you can step beyond it. Yeah.
Any
Definitely.
final thoughts for us on partner betrayal and what people need to know?
Oh, there's always more to know.
I agree.
I'm a student of so many different things. I think if you are listening to this and you want to know more, or you want to have a conversation, contact Bull City Psychotherapy. We are open to really anyone. And even if you're like, well, I'm not curious yet, I'm just feeling really stuck. So if you're on that stage, or I'm in too much shock to be curious about myself, I can't hold that space. And you're asking me to go into a hard place or a safe place. I don't know what the word safety means. And I never have. That is a big part of where we come from, too, is let us know. Let's have a conversation about it. And we're really ready to be listen. Yeah.
I know a lot of us, I don't know about everyone actually, but a lot of us offer free consultation.
Oh yes, all of us do.
And if you're thinking about contacting someone for services, it's
Yeah,
something you can give to yourself.
definitely. Definitely. I think there are many of us here at Bull City Psychotherapy that work in similar areas, yet we each have our own ways of going about it. So I think just
Visit our
checking us out,
website.
checking out, yeah.
Visit our website. See what we have to say about ourselves. See if any of it resonates with you.
Definitely.
All
Definitely. I
right.
enjoy talking with you, Lind. I
Yes. Thanks
really
for
do.
being here with us today.
Absolutely.
All right.
Take care.